So welcome to this session regarding building proactive monitoring for your private cloud using public cloud services. My name is Robert, and I'm very glad to see that some of you guys and girls who attended my last session also re-attended this session. That's a good sign. I didn't scare you off then, so that's good. I'm an MVP for System Center Cloud and Data Center Management. I work for a company called SumNerve, and I'm a cloud and solution principal architect, and I'm also a big fan of business continuity, and I do a lot of those works. The purpose of this session is for you guys to get some good tools, so to speak, tools that you can bring back home that is applicable to your actual business need regarding building proactive monitoring. There are so many solutions out there, Ops Manager, HPOM, so on and so forth, and the majority of those solutions are not based on a proactive approach. So the goal for this session, the key takeaway for you boys and girls, hello, is to take that with you. So the agenda is this. Proactivity in a nutshell. What is it? We're going to talk about the private cloud adoption of it, public cloud services, and we're going to round it up regarding how to make it happen. Sounds good? Do you nod? Don't be afraid to interact. I won't bite you. Oh, you also wait. Oh, good. Interaction. Awesome. So, proactivity in a nutshell. The start is definition of the goal. So what is the goal? How many of you guys are doing monitoring? Hands up. A few of you. Okay. Good. Is the monitoring reactive or proactive? Anyone? Reactive. True. And that's the biggest challenge, right? Having, you know, a modern data center. The modern data center is continually changing and adopting new technologies, right? There are so many things out there, things that are good, and also some stuff that are really, really bad. Looking at the modern data center approach, it should be highly resilient and highly automated, so you guys can adapt to the actual need of scale within the data center, right? Yeah, das ist gut. Which means that, ich habe nur ein Deutsch gelernt für diese Session, jawohl. So, the thing is, being highly resilient is actually meaning being applicable to the current business need. Here's my question now. The current business need, is that static? Anyone, yes or no? Shout it out. No. Good. Why is it that? Why isn't it static? Why can't we just do a model, a routine, a process, or whatever, and say, let's go with it? The technology is changing. The needs for the technology, for the business services, is continually changing. Automation is one way of meeting this change. But here's the next thing. Should you automate everything? No. No. True. So you should be very high in your automation. Of course, you should try to automate as much as you can, of course. Because if you've done it wrong, it will continue to be wrong. Maybe it sounds sarcastic, but the thing is, this is a great thing for troubleshooting also, right? But be careful with automation. Be sure not to automate in your production environment. Be sure to start to automate and build your automation concept within your staging or verification environment. Because all of you have those, right? Whoops. So reactive versus proactive, the two concepts of monitoring. Reactive, that's too late. You don't want to have a red cross in your console, right? You don't like those, right? No, me neither. I hate those guys. We want to look at the actual yellow thingies and white thingies, right? But how do we get there? So being Proactive means understanding and identifying your business services. Because when you understand and see the different services, then you let the business choose the technology. And that is the way you should do it. Don't go out there and just buy stuff. Come on. Hands on your heart. Who has done it? I think we all have done it, someone, yeah? Think before you act. That's the first message. So identification of what actually you need before you decide the solution is a key concept. So how do you actually do that? Any idea? Anyone? How do you understand your business need? Because the majority in this audience are IT pros, right? Is there any managers in here? Because I love you guys also. The thing is, you need to understand the actual need of the business. Ever heard of the word pre-study, documentation, analytics? That's the way to go. It takes a lot of time and energy, but believe me, it is worth it. Because then you build a framework, then you build a structure, then you build the order. When I go out and help people, meet people, listen to people, now and then I'm putting on my Microsoft hat and go out as a PFE or MCS consultant, and the most five top things that I see out there regarding monitoring, regardless now of ops manager, insights, or whatever, regardless of the product, are those five. Staging verification environment. Hands up. How many boys and girls in the audience have a staging or verification environment before they put anything in production? Hands up. Wow. You've done your homework. Good. The thing is, the most common thing is that people are just doing stuff in production, right? Importing all management pack man ever written is not the right way of doing monitoring, okay? So be very selective what you want to do. Break down the management pack. There are some management pack guides that actually list the monitors and the rules, and the majority don't. But break down and build up your management pack architecture within a staging or verification environment. That's the first thing. Proof of concept. How many have done proof of concept installations or POCs? Yeah. How many have just put them in production? Yeah. And I understand that. I respect that. Most humbly, I do, because the thing is, it works, right? The POC worked. It was a success. Let's bring it into production. But guess what? Scale. It always comes down to scale, boys and girls. A proof of concept installation, how do you scale it? I know, this is scary. Okay, I'm moving. So the thing is, the proof of concept installation is always scaled for testing purposes, not production. So be very gentle, be very careful what and when and why you put stuff in production. Routine and processes. Anyone loves ITIL? I do. If you do it the right way. The right way means that you see the actual benefit of it. Start small, start simple, start in the right way. Start with understanding that, oh, we should not apply everything. Start small. Start by using and build up your routines, your processes regarding how do we onboard new business services within our proactive concept of monitoring. Start with that. Is that hard? Do you think that is hard? No, it's not. The only thing it will cost you is time. So time is key of essence here. Never underestimate time. If a project takes 1 month longer, but it, in the end, it turns out really, really successful, was it worth it? Yeah, totally. Presentation of the gathered alerts and information. Here's the thing. I went down to Europe, visited a nice Munich facility thingy, had the great meeting with them, listening to them, and they said that, yeah, we use Ops Manager. Okay, cool. What's your experience? It gives us a lot of information. Okay, have you been selected? Sort of. What do you mean? What do you mean, sort of? Have you been or have you not? Well, we have, you know, integrated Ops Manager with Link. Okay, and then what? And we forward all alerts to the IT manager. So that's not the right way of present all the information. What you should do is build up your distributed applications or use Savvision as a third-party solution to you know, get the dynamics of the distributed applications. I used to say that there are three R's in this. Right person at the right time with the right information. If you present, if you're the SQL admin, you don't care about the preps network. You don't care about whatever. You want to know SQL specifics, right? There you go. That's the way of doing it. Ownership. Who is responsible? Who's in charge? This swings back to ITIL. Because just saying that I'm a change manager doesn't mean that you actually do the change manager job, right? So ownership of alerts is who is the business service owner and what kind of alerts should he or she have? What is important and what is not? Once again, be very selective. So the thing is, there are so many things regarding building the proactive approach. There are different kind of products. You must also realize what is really building up my business, right? The concept of monitoring. How should you do it? And business continuity. How many have, you know, touched the subject of business continuity? Hands up. Good. It's gearing there. That's good. So the different products out there, of course, App Manager, WhatsApp Gold, Nagios, HBOM, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. Regardless of the product, you can never just rely on technology. Technology is a tool that should be driven, the choice of technology should be driven from the business need. Don't go out there and just buy stuff. Think before you buy it. And instead of investing money in software, invest them in yourself, doing the pre-study, setting up the framework, building the processes, start your business continuity trail, right? So the monitoring concept, how do you start? Well, the first thing to do when it comes to proactivity is, of course, understanding your business services. Break them down. How should you communicate? Who is responsible and all that? How should the information be presented? Should all information be sent to you because you are the SQL guru? Or should you just be informed regarding the transactional log things that didn't work and yeah? So be selective. This is already built in, but no one is using it. And ITIL, start small. Keep it easy. Simplicity is always key. And also when it comes to business continuity. The most commonly misunderstanding when it comes to business continuity is that it is an activity. You don't write a Word document with a header said, business continuity plan, and then you're done. That's not a way of doing it. Business continuity is an activity that is always on the move. New technology is presenting, new technology is adapting to your modern data center, right? So business continuity defines the actual business function that you must have online, up and running. And here's the thing. Business continuity should never be, you know, done or pre-studied or implemented or whatever during an actual disaster. That sounds a bit strange, right? But you guys should be surprised how many emails I get with people saying, oh, we heard that you do business continuity. Yeah, true. Can you help us? Okay, of course. What's the deal? What's up? Oh, we had some issues here. Oh, so you have a disaster right now. Yeah, can you sort it out for us? Yeah, I can help you, of course, but the thing is, how do you think in a disaster situation? That's the thing, you don't think at all, because you just act, right? And the thing regarding the business continuity, if you build your business continuity concept during an actual disaster, you'll just do it wrong, because you don't have the time. You don't have the luxury of time sitting down and thinking, how should I build it, who is in charge, and so on and so forth. So this is before the disaster. Your business, back home, does it consist of provided services or just some kind of server technologies running cool stuff? What do you think? Provided services. And that's the thing that is so important to think about. The whole, you know, cloud journey Microsoft started a few years back, this is one of the results of it, that you guys must start thinking services instead of thinking Exchange, SQL, or SharePoint. You need to see the actual service, because otherwise you will not be cloud adapted. You have implemented solutions. And the provisionized service within your data center are based on pre-study. So you know how it's built up, the data dependencies, and all that. How many have documented all the business services? No one? I understand. Documentation is a boring thing, right? When I go out there and meet fantastic people, I say, do you got documentation on it? No. And guess what? That cost the project 100 consultant hours. Instead of when you do stuff, document them. Document the PowerShell scripts. Just do the scripts. And then you can do the fancy things around it, explaining it, but document something. Every single project, there is always a little glitch regarding documentation, and it's very important. Size. Does size matter of the company or business? No. It does not. If you have 1,000 business services, let's say you have, right? Or you have 10, it doesn't matter. This is the same approach, because those 10 services, if you're an SMB customer, those 10 services are equivalently important to those 1,000 business services. Size doesn't matter. So my message is that everyone needs some kind of business continuity plan. Because in the end, when stuff happens and go wrong and go bad, you need to have routine, you need to have order, you need to have discipline, you need to have structure, you need to have processes that guides you so you can do the restore, so you can do the onboarding, so you can map it up the new services. You must have it. So the solution, if you go with this, will provide you with the strategy, the vision, a proper design. And what do we mean by proper design? When you import a how many uses Ops Manager? When you import management packs, how do you do it? Do you just do it, or do you think before you act? I won't bite you. Here's the truth. A lot of people, and I understand that, and I respect that, a lot of people just go with the flow, man. Import every management pack mankind ever written. So we get a lot of information. Okay, how do you select that information? That is a really tough part. Start small, easy concept that will bring you order. So pre-study, understand your services, build a scale. How many management services do I really need? Because what is published on TechNet, you ever heard of TechNet? Is recommendations. Always, always recommendations. It doesn't say that you should have 5 management servers. Maybe you need just 4, or maybe 8, because you have so much intense on it, right? So you need to sit down and actually break it down. This is just recommendations.
Two CPUs, 8 gigabit of RAM.
Yeah, right. The public cloud services, yeah, genau. I'm working on my German. So it's about to get real. And here's the thing, public cloud services are beautiful. Yes, they're extraordinary. It's amazing, you can scale it. You can do tons of stuff with the public services. Oh, public cloud services, I mean, public services or something else. But how should you do it, right? Because if you listen to Microsoft, they're just saying that this is great, it's awesome, the best thing since sliced bread, or whatever. And of course, they're right, they built it. Those guys and girls, they are really skilled, talented people, and they're doing a great job. But how can you apply that to your actually proactive monitoring experience? Looking at OMS, so what horse will Microsoft bet on in the future? What do you think?
Good prices. Answer, win a trip to Sweden.
OMS, of course, cloud services, of course. Probably they would not, of course they would not, you know, skip the legacy products, on-prem, Ops Manager and all that, but OMS, if you haven't looked, have you tried it out, OMS? The OMS suite? Anyone? I know you have, Oscar. So you have log analytics, ID automation, availability on demand, security, and compliance. That builds up OMS, right? And when it comes to, you know, build up a proactive, easy monitoring concept or resource scenario or business continuity or whatever, simplicity is key, right? One of 5 pillars in a business continuity plan is never, ever add complexity, reduce complexity. What is one of the goals, right? Looking at the 5 reasons for OMS, you got simplicity. I know that adding a solution in operational insights, there are more to wish for, or I know. But it is easy. Integrate Ops Insight with Ops Manager so you can have one console, one single pane of glass for your IT admins, and you have a nice way of presenting a current health state within the OMS console for operational insights, right? So those are the 5 things regarding OMS. Onboarding, integration, all that. It is easy. Starting with OMS, starting working with Ops Insights, for example, you don't have to be a member of Mensa to do this. You go, sign up for OMS, provide name, provide workspace. If you want, you can link your subscription, Azure subscription, or you can do it later, doesn't matter. And then, guess what? You're good to go. And the thing is, I'm just going to show you real quick what it's all about. And let's see if we can fix the screen. Ba-ba-da-bum. And there you go. And there you go. So OMS is really a sweet deal. This is, I just built up a lab in Azure for demo purposes for SCU. I haven't done a lot. I haven't put in a lot of time of getting this up and running. So what you have is different solutions, right? So different solution is really, really easy to adapt to, and you can have different things like change tracking, system updates, you can have your disaster recovery strategies, functionalities like OSR, and Azure backups, and all that stuff in one place. So the solution gallery is where you find the different solutions. And here's the thing. It always comes down to if you have a good implementation on Ops Manager, hear me out now, capacity planning. That is one solution that relies on, for example, Ops Manager to have it up and running and have it good. The same goes for Savition. Anyone using Savition? Yeah? Here's the same thing. If you have a poorly implemented Ops Manager solution, and buy a third-party software, regardless of the vendor, but buy a third-party software, it will not clean stuff up. It will not make it prettier or whatever. So you need to have your stuff together, up and running. And just adding different solution, it will go out. In this case, I've integrated with Ops Manager, so it will go to my Ops Manager installation, talk to VMM regarding all my storage, regarding all my stuff, and present this in a really nice way. How many of you guys are doing SQL monitoring? Anyone? Good. Do you think the SQL management pack was interesting regarding implementation? It could be challenging because it must depend on, you know, the runners accounts must have the privileges of doing discoveries and all that stuff. So you need to have that up and running. But here's the good thing. Regarding SQL, out of the box, you can have a beautiful, rich experience of the actual current state within there. And I know you guys maybe want some more. I can see you do. You want some more information. But the thing is, then you go to Ops Manager, right? And then you go and you build yourself a view. You build yourself a distributed application. And you do stuff in Ops Manager. The thing is here, Microsoft realized that, OK, providing a management pack with 2,000 monitors and 1,000 rules may be not the right way of doing it. So instead of having that approach, they turn it around, saying that, let's start small. So people can adapt to that technology and see that, oh, it is easy providing monitoring experience for SQL, for Active Directory, for whatever. The OMS team are currently just adopting new solutions, new technology, new way of thinking how they should discover SQL, how they should do in Active Directory, and so on and so forth. This is the horse Microsoft is betting on. So if you haven't looked at it yet, please do. It will be very important for you guys. Wow, Mr. Murphy, it's always a pleasure when he comes around. Let's see if we can get this up and running. Any questions so far? Crystal clear? Great. Let's continue. So, your private cloud. On-prem, but still fancy. So, your private cloud is key of essence regarding your services provided in the fabric, right? And the thing regarding fabric monitoring is that you need to have it right from the beginning or you just end up with a lot of mess. How many of you guys are using WAP? I hope a lot of you guys, yeah? And here's the thing. Within WAP, you can also build monitoring as a service. When you have your onboarding, create for a new system, right? You have your onboarding for a new system. When you order that, why don't you have a checkbox? Monitoring as a service. Restore as a service. Go. And you have already, you know, defined that, oh, this is SQL, this is Windows Server, this is Azure Components, this is that. So it's all done. How long will the onboarding process take then? From days, probably, down to a few minutes. Is that valuable? Yeah, because then you can go home and, you know, drink coffee and be with the kids and the boss still thinks you're working. Woohoo, good. 3 days of vacation for every time you provisionize a new service. That's great. So keep that in mind. Integration with Ops Manager. There's a lot of do and don'ts, but when it comes down to how to integrate it with Ops Manager, it is really, really simple. And what you do is, bum, 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 bum. Oh, that wouldn't work. So what it comes down to with the integration of operational insights. You have your workspace, right? So from your Scrum console, administration, operational insights connections, you connect your ops insights. You provide the credentials for the account that holds the Azure subscription, and guess what? You're good to go. There is, of course, more to it. You must add computers, of course. And this is also a task that you can do afterwards. Let's see now that you didn't have added all the computers here, so you can do it afterwards. And then it will be included in the OMS. You don't need to have Ops Manager to get all the benefits from OMS. You don't need it. But if you have it, you can extend the experience of the monitoring experience, right? Will that solve the issue with reactive versus proactive monitoring? Never. Never, never. So still, you need to figure out the proactive approach for your company to have it up and running. How many of you guys are using DAs, distributed applications? Anyone? So here's the thing. Distributed applications are really important. Visualizing and, you know, seeing the actual current state of the business. And building distributed applications is really, really simple. What it comes down to is that in the end, you will display it. And if you don't have any third-party vendor, you can use out-of-the-box the display for service-level agreements that you attach to this. So why don't we build a distributed applications real quick? So the thing that you do is you open up DAD, and you have different templates. I'm a fan of using the blank one. And from here, you add components. And this thing regarding components are the things that you want to, you know, categorize the different services. So SCU number one, for example, right here you can add, for example, let's do, I want to look at specific volumes that is within my disk pool for my DPM server solutions that holds the BAS or RAS service, restores the service. From there, maybe I want to have something that I also can relate to. Let's build in and put in the information regarding my protection group and say that the relationship, contamination process, hello, will be from this to that, and save it. So this is just, you know, click, 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 piece of cake. What it will do is it will define a class within Ops Manager. So this class is something that you also then can play around with. Build up the presentation layer, build up some, you know, how to present that information and all that important things for your services. When you have that up and running, how many of you guys have service level agreements, SLAs? Anyone? Good. Because then this trick will be really, really neat. From here, you want to associate a service level tracking object with this. And as I mentioned, you will define a class. There's the class. Bam. And now, service level objectives. So what is the actual objectives? I'll go with the monitoring state SLO. And as you see, I can go for the availability. I go with 99% of uptime. And from here, I can also define, OK, so it will be counted if I have unplanned maintenance. That will be downtime, right? And unmonitored, oh yeah. Let's just click it. OK, so now I have a service level tracking object. So from here, I can go to my monitoring thing. Let's see. Thank you. I can create a new dashboard view. using service level dashboard. And I need to scope it. And here's the class. Or sorry, my service level tracking object. Here you go. I'm going to look at the last, oh, not minutes. Let's take last 24 hours. Summarize it up, creating the visualization. And bum, 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 bum. So it's gather the service levels, presenting the server level objectives. And when Ops Manager has figured this out, it will present you with a nice view. How many are using this? Because quite often, people are building their proactive monitoring concept just using alerts, monitors, rules, and all that stuff. But don't think about the actual visualization step. This is a good start. It is not the best, but it's a starting point. Integrate your Ops Manager with SharePoint. Ooh, looky looky. Integrate your Ops Manager with SharePoint, and you can also provide it with a nice set of presenting it. Once again, that's one way of doing it. So those of you who raised a hand regarding service level agreements, do you actually follow them also? What is the incident manager response to an SLA violation? Oh, the service went down. OK. So you guys going to fix it? OK, good. We don't need to have an incident. OK. That is one common thing. So here's the truth. If you are about to, you know, assign people to those roles within the iTool concept, make sure that you also have the framework that people do it all the way, not just having a cool, you know, thing on their business card. And wow, it worked. Cool. God bless Microsoft. So how to make it happen? Simplicity is always key, meaning never underestimate simplicity. The more complexity you add to building up your business continuity plan or displaying it or whatever, will only dig you more deeper in the ground. So simplicity is always, always key. So there's a lot of solutions. There are a lot of third-party vendors out there. There are also third-party vendors that Microsoft acquired. Within the new release of Ops Manager 2016, probably no one has escaped that BlueStripe will be integrated, right? Will that solve the issue with having static, as distributed applications are, a static approach? Maybe. Let's see. So only the future can tell. But what does your company actually need? That is the most important part. What is the actual service? How is it built up? Who is in charge? What is the service level agreement? Those are the questions, boys and girls, that never get answered, unfortunately. And when something bad happens to those companies, it is the technician's job to get the stuff up and running again. So having those things regarding routines, processes, a business continuity plan, the way of building the concept, that provides you with a framework so you can build trust, right? So keep that in mind. It should always be easy to understand and always simplicity. If you have questions regarding proactivity, if you have questions regarding business continuity or any questions at all, feel free to send me an email. I'll try to answer those emails as soon as possible, but you will get an answer. I promise you that. So thanks to all the sponsors making SCU, you know, available, possible, and Your feedback is very important. We're always trying to improve system-centered universe. So feedback, feedback, feedback. That is always important for us. All right? Thank you so much for attending. I'll be here around. You can just grab me if you have any questions. Thank you so much, guys.